This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning. It was kind of weak. Good morning. We'll try it again. So 15 years ago, probably one of the most profound speeches you have ever heard occurred. A guy by the name of Mike Gundy, head coach at the Oklahoma State University, said, "I'm a man. I'm 40. And this week I celebrated my 40th birthday. So I have waited for 15 years to be able to do, "I'm a man. I'm 40. So that's probably the only thing I have to look forward to at this point. I guess everything else, as they say, is downhill from here. So it's fun. I literally, you have no idea. Like, since I was a young man, I have looked forward to the opportunity to say, "I'm a man. I'm 40. Hey, we're so glad you guys are here with us this week. We're continuing a series called Heroes. And I'll be honest, it's kind of a cheesy series, and we do cheese sometimes. I like cheese. We like to have fun. If you're serious all of the time, nobody wants to be around you. Let's just be honest, right? Do you know people like that who are just serious? I'm like, "Dog, lighten up a little bit." Now, we take everything seriously, but we're going to take things seriously in a lighthearted way. Does that make sense at all? Okay, good. So we've been in this series called Heroes, and the reason that we decided to do this series is because we have at least an interest, maybe even an obsession in our culture with heroes. We love heroes. And the dollar signs prove it, right? Like, you look at the box office numbers for all of the hero movies and the fact that they continue to make, like, reboots and sequels, because we keep going, right? Like, culturally, collectively, we continue to support heroes because we like heroes. It'd be like, "All right, good. Just a little head nod every once in a while is okay. It's not going to hurt you. A little calisthenics is good. Stay loose." We said last week, we're kind of the loose church. You know, you can be loose in church, and that's okay. So that's where the idea came from in doing this series called Heroes, because what you find in Christianity is so many of the values, so many of the things that we like about heroes, you find are actually kind of the tenets and cornerstone ideas of Christianity. And we looked at a few of those already. We talked about how heroes liberate, right? Heroes set free. They find a people or people group, person or people group who are oppressed and downtrodden or whatever the case may be, and they swoop in and they rescue them, they liberate them. And we talked about, obviously, how Jesus is the greatest liberator. His mission in Luke chapter 4 was to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to bring freedom to the captives. So Jesus, the greatest hero, is kind of an embodiment of all of the values that we like in heroes, right? Okay. And then last week we talked about one of the other things that heroes always do, one of the things that we love about our heroes, is that heroes sacrifice. Right? They sacrifice. They don't have to. Let's be honest, right? You know, let's, again, kind of live in the world of fiction for just a minute. Like, our heroes are better than us, right? They're stronger than us. They're faster than us. They're smarter than us. So they don't necessarily have to stoop to our level, but they choose to. They sacrifice willingly on our behalf. And then clearly the correlation there is, like, Jesus is Lord, right? Jesus, the Son of God, stepped into time for us because he wanted to do something for us that we could not do for ourselves. And so we understand that's what the gospel is. That's what grace is. Jesus doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And to do that, in order to accomplish that, he had to sacrifice himself, right? And in fact, he kind of gives us the most clear and perfect, succinct picture of what sacrifice is in John chapter 14, where he said, or John chapter 15, he's like, "This is what love is, just so everybody knows. Nobody has seen greater love than this, than to lay down your life for your friends, for the people that you care about, that you profess to love, than you would sacrifice for them." So we love heroes because they sacrifice. Today we're going to look at another aspect of heroes. And it's one of those things that, again, these are probably the most obvious things about them that draw us to them. And it's that every hero has a gift or a superpower, or some of them have multiple gifts and multiple superpowers. And it's what draws us to them, right? We love, I don't know about you, some people are like, "I root for the underdog." That's so boring, right? And we love underdogs. I like exceptional. I love seeing And you can be frustrated with them, and it's irritating, like, how well they do. But I have such a deep and profound respect for people who continue to be successful. I love exceptional, right? We're at least interested in it. We're at least, like, intrigued by it. And so when it comes to superheroes, I think that's part of the intrigue, is the fact that they have this unique gift or this unique ability. And sometimes, I don't know about you, so let's talk about superpowers. But sometimes I think the reason that we're so drawn to them is we kind of want to be like them. I'm not going to lie. Whenever I see Superman fly, like, that'd be pretty cool, right? I don't know. And what's so cool about this is there's so many different superpowers. Let's talk about a few. Some of the superpowers would be X-ray vision, pretty cool. Dicey, could get yourself into some situations, right? Super strength, my personal favorite. For whatever reason, when I was young, like, I always, even playing video games where you could select the different characters that had different qualities, I'm like, give me the meathead. I just want the biggest dude that smashes stuff. Like, you know, just for whatever reason, that's what I was always drawn to. And some people are like, I want the fast guy. And I'm like, I will crush you when I catch you. So some have super strength, some have super speed, some can fly, some have X-ray vision, some have accelerated healing, like Wolverine, right? Isn't that part of his, like, accelerated healing? Super speed, like the Flash, teleportation, on and on and on and on, right? So heroes have super powers, and it's kind of what draws us to them, because at least, I guess at the very least, we want to be like them, or maybe we could see ourselves doing the things that they do. So superheroes have superpowers. And what's really incredible when you see their unique gifts, because they're always different, right? When they all come together with their unique gifts and work as a team, they always do something incredible. Hello, church, right? So it's the same thing for us. I hope you see the correlations. They should be obvious, right? That we each have unique gifts, superpowers. And when we come together and we use the powers that we have, the gifts that God has given us, we, as a team, as the church, accomplish so much more than we would ever accomplish on our own. The reason you want to have, this is just my opinion. This is soapbox time. You ready? The reason that I believe that church, if you look at national averages, statistics, and all of that nonsense, I say it's nonsense, and I'll tell you why in a little bit, because I have two conflicting articles about the same thing. So national averages and statistics would say that church, Christianity in the United States, is declining. And I think that that's the case because we're so petty, we can't work together. And we are so selfish that we don't want to contribute our gift to the whole. We want to shine on our own, right? And we want our gift to be our gift and only our gift. Well, have fun with that, flying solo, Maverick. That ain't the way this thing works. You ain't Jesus, right? You are not a superhero. We are collectively called to work together. I'm off my soapbox. Okay. Oh, hey, if you're curious about all of the decor, we're not usually this childish. That's not disrespectful, right? It's child stuff. So we have VBS going on this week. They'll tell you more about all of that later. So when you walk down and you're like, what is this place? It looks different, but it doesn't look that different normally, right? So that's the first thing, is they come together and they use their gifts, and you accomplish more together, obviously, than you do alone. Another thing that you find really interesting, and I think that is at least worth considering as it relates to heroes, and this is one of the things that we kind of gloss over. Do you know that they spend most of their time fighting kind of the day-to-day crime, right? So think about just Batman. I don't know for Batman, right? Like, what's up with the voice? Like, you're trying so hard. I'm Batman, right? So Batman, for example, always the shows I grew up, like, it was the 1990s cartoon for me. That was the Batman. That was the version that I got. Some of y'all got the black and white Batman. That's cool too. Or it was like just Technicolor, like just coming in. So whatever the case is, however you grew up on it, generally, like, every episode is he's fighting like a petty criminal, right? A small crime. It's the day-to-day, and he's solving small crimes to engender himself to the, you know, the community and goodwill and all of that stuff. On occasion, really a rare occasion, do you have the big battles? Do you have these, like, monumental moments where it's epic, right? And I think that's a pretty clear correlation to our lives, right? It's the day-to-day stuff that really, really matters. Once in a while, you have these monumental occasions, these big moments of celebration or victory or whatever the case may be. But the problem is, so many people live for those and they neglect the day-to-day. And you don't really get to celebrate the big stuff if you don't take care of the small stuff. So we're going to talk about these a little bit more in depth, and we'll go to the first one first because that's what you do, right? First point is this, and I'm only going to be cheesy. I'm only going to intentionally be cheesy one time today. The first point is this. It's called Super You. You ready for the cheese? You can't spell super without the you. Give it a 3 out of 10. That's not bad. All the dads are like, that's right. That's right. That boy got it. Can't spell super without the you. The first point here, the first idea as it relates to superheroes is and superpowers, gifts, spiritual gifts, is that we each individually have gifts, and we need to, again, use our gifts for the whole. We're capable of so much more together than we are alone. All of these things that we know. But it's kind of interesting, if you look again at superheroes, you don't ever really see superheroes trying to be other superheroes. Right? You don't see Superman dressing up like Batman. Those are just kind of the obvious ones, right? They're very comfortable in their own skin or spandex. They're very comfortable with their, in fact, not only are they very comfortable with their gifts, and they generally celebrate, they embrace fully their gifts, knowing that it's what gives them a unique ability to make a difference in the world. Now, we're not talking about superheroes. You know that, right? We're talking about us. And the idea here is, like, you find so often, unfortunately, even in Christianity, everybody is trying to be somebody else other than the person that God made them to be. And so just remember, Batman don't act like Superman. Superman don't act like Batman. Why don't you act like yourself, right? Just be comfortable with who it is that God's made you. Be comfortable with the gift that God has given you. And again, unfortunately, what we tend to do with gifting and our abilities and the things that God has innately put inside of us is we compare those to other people's. And if mine isn't quite as glamorous as so-and-so's, then, well, my gift just isn't that important. That's ridiculous. That is absolute and utter nonsense. So it's important to utilize the gifts that God has specifically given you, because we need the variety, right? We need the flavor. We need all of the different gifts that each and every person brings to the table. Otherwise, it's real boring, right? And ineffective. It's not just boring, but it's ineffective. Now, there is, let me get cultural for just a minute. I do this on occasion. Don't get sensitive. There's at least a contingency of people who would love for us to all be the same, right? They like this idea, and here's what's dangerous. They kind of operate under the guise of a good thing, like equality. We use equality as a mask to kind of, you know, hide another agenda. Now, equality, no one would argue that equality is a good thing. I believe in equality of opportunity, right? We should all have the same opportunities, right? Regardless of where you come from, what you look like, all of the things that we tend to associate with equality. So we should all have equality of opportunity, but that doesn't necessarily mean equity in your outcome. And so what we've got is kind of a pursuit, some people at least pushing the idea, we'll call it the standardization of society, right? We want everybody to kind of be the same. And this is just my opinion. Let me get on my conspiracy theory soapbox for just a minute. Can I do that too? Okay, I've got permission. It's cool. I think, honestly, because if you get everybody to be the same, they're easier to control, but that's just my opinion, right? Because if we all different and we've all got different strengths and gifts, then it's a lot harder to control us, right? And we, in fact, in some senses, we're out of control. So it's important to embrace the fact that we are all different, that we're just different, and that's a good thing. There are men and there are women and they are different. And that's a good thing. I heard about a professor this week who wouldn't even call a woman a woman, called her with the person who has the capability of becoming pregnant. Like, that's a woman, dog. That by definition is a woman, right? And that's a good thing. Thank God for it, right? And so that's just an easy kind of, you know, example of all of this. The point is, we are different, and that's a very good thing. Our uniqueness is the strength of our bond. What makes us unique is what makes us strong. And you think about this, it's so logical, right? If Shelly and I are married, Shelly and I have been married for a long time. I'm 40, we've been married 41 years. It's weird. But we are, in many ways, we are so different. But that's not something to be, you know, harped on. That's not a negative. That's a good thing, because the areas that I'm weak in, she's typically strong in. There's some areas that we're both weak in, and that's a problem, right? But our strengths complement each other, and where I'm weak, she tends to be strong. Where she's weak, she doesn't have any of those. But if she did, then I would be strong in those particular areas. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says this: "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." I want you to know about gifts, right? And we'll talk about some of these more at length here in a minute. But let's talk about this idea of, could you imagine, let's just say, you know, pick a hero, and the hero starts comparing his gift to somebody else's gift, and then he's like, oh, well, my gift's not quite as cool as their gift, so I'm not going to use my gift. Like, wouldn't that be ridiculous, right? That kind of kills the story, doesn't it? They're like, where do you go from there unless you've got a comeback? You got to have the comeback. So if you think about it in terms of heroes and them not using their gifts because it's not as glamorous as somebody else's gift, we would make fun of them, right? But that happens in Christianity all the time. It's like, well, my gift isn't glamorous like so-and-so's. I don't have a platform. I don't have a stage. I don't have a following. I don't have, you know, social fame. So instead, I'm going to take pictures at the gym in front of the mirror and block all of the machines. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 through 20. It says this: "Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Just because the foot says, hey, I'm not part of the body because I'm not the hand, that doesn't mean that it's not part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." You kind of see what's going on here? If the whole body were an eye, it's one of those words, if you say it enough, it just gets weird. Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it were, there are many parts, but one body. Right? It is important. Like, we need eyes, right? We need eyes to see, but that doesn't mean we spite our ears because our ears aren't eyes, because we need our ears to hear. And we don't spite our ears because they're not a nose, because we need our nose to smell, right? So now we have a more fully functioning, optimal system, because everybody is doing what they're created to do. God put you where you're supposed to be. God gifted you as you are called to be gifted, and it's connected to your purpose, right? So you start to understand how important this is, but you only get to see that if you operate within the context of the body, and we only do as much as we can possibly do when we do what we do together. Okay, so that's the first idea, is we'll call super you. It's important you have a gift from God, like a unique, a distinct thing about you that you can use to further the kingdom of God on the earth. So that's super you. The second thing is this, and we'll call this one everyday superhero. I think that's a song. Probably going to get slapped with a copyright infringement on that one, right? So everyday superhero. And again, this kind of comes back to the idea of the superheroes using their gifts on the day-to-day stuff, right? They use their gifts to fight the crime day-to-day. And only every once in a while do you have like this epic battle with their arch nemesis, or kind of this crescendo where this, like, it's like the whole world hangs in the balance. It's usually just the small stuff. It's usually what we would consider the mundane and the monotonous, right? I'm pretty sure they get tired of fighting the same small petty crimes. But the people who they're saving never get tired of them doing that. That was better than you guys let on. As they say, the preaching's better than the response, right? Like, sure, they get tired of all the small stuff, but the people who they're helping never get tired of them helping them and serving them and the small things that they do for them. And the same thing is true for us, right? Like, yeah, I get it. Like, sometimes it's like the day-to-day, and it's the grind, right? God, I hate even using that word just because it's so overplayed. Right? It's just the day-to-day, it's the monotonous, and sometimes it seems mundane. It's like, oh, you know, am I really making a difference? And it may be a small thing to you, and it may be hard to you to kind of continue in the monotony, but it may be a big thing to the people that you're making a difference in their lives, the people that you're serving. So in our lives, it's important to remember that life, the Christian life specifically, is not just about these seminal moments, right? It's not just about these highs and these things that we celebrate. It's about the day-to-day, and that's where you really make the biggest difference, in my opinion. It's about finding what your gifts are and finding a way to use them to serve other people every single day. Every single day. Every single day. Every single day. You wake up. Monday, you use your gifts. You wake up. Tuesday, you use your gifts, right? And it's just so obvious, but because it's not something glamorous, we tend to downplay what it is and how important it is. Just think about it like this. This is the kind of the irreducible minimum. This is the easiest way to understand this. Find a need and meet it. Find a need. Do you want to be a hero? Do you want to be a hero? Find a need every day and meet it. It can be a small thing. It can be a really small thing. It could be something that is incredibly insignificant to you. It took you 5 minutes out of your busy schedule, and it made a world of difference for somebody else. Find a need and meet that need. I think that's an incredible place to start if you want to be an everyday superhero. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, it says this. Now, again, this is specifically addressing the idea that we think our gifts should be glamorous, right? And they should bring us some attention, and we should get some influence and whatever else we think we deserve because of our gifts. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. He says, when you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward, all the reward they will ever get. Let me give you a modern translation of this. Are you ready? This is rich. You can do something good for somebody else and not post it on Facebook. Right? Most shocking statement you've ever heard. You can do something good for somebody else and not want to get attention for it here because you have a choice, like you really do. You have a choice. You can get all of your attention from all three of your followers here, or you can get a reward from God who is in heaven, who rewards those who do what they do in secret. He will reward you openly at a later date. I'll take that, right? Than the accolade of people who don't really like you, who just follow you to wait for you to slip up and do something that they can make fun of. So I had this epiphany a while back, and I'll just give you an understanding of where I came from and my journey and all that stuff really quickly. So when I first started coming to church, man, I just saw so many people who were just incredible. Like, I thought these people were it, right? And some of them were very genuine, awesome Christian people. And so early on, I wanted to be a person of just this very deep, sincere faith, right? I wanted to be a person of faith, like unwavering faith. And so I saw these people that they would pray these like just beautiful prayers, right? Eloquent prayers and powerful prayers. And they're all like fired up and right? And I'm just like, yeah. And then like half of them were just, the faith didn't translate to faithfulness, right? And so I learned for myself early on that faithfulness is just as important as being faith-filled. And when you think about the day-to-day, you think about being an everyday superhero. Like, here's the deal. Jesus said this. Like, what did he say about when you get to the end of your life, you're going to stand before him, and he's going to say one of two things. He's like, depart from me, I never knew you. Or he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now, it seems to me that the indication is there that you got to make it to the finish line. Right? I don't care how glamorous you are for the next 5 minutes. I want to know what you look like in 50 years. It doesn't matter to me how excited you are about your life in this moment. What I want to know is, like, do you have a plan for when you're 70? Do you have a plan for your posterity? Do you have a plan for your legacy? Do you have a plan to finish the race that you started? Because God knows so many people start. And the problem is, like, this is an overused analogy, but it's so good. So many people start like that dadgum rabbit, and they just run fast and hard. But baby, this thing is a marathon, and I'm not really built for marathons, so my marathon is going to be slow. In fact, it's going to be Oprah Winfrey slow. She ran a marathon. It was like 10 hours. I'm like, you go, girl, right? And I'm like, I'm with you because I'm going to make it to about 16 miles. And I mean, like, I need glycogen repletion. Like, y'all help a brother out, right? But we're running a marathon. It's about faithfulness to the end. It's not about glamour. It's not about attention. It's not about self-seeking. It's not about all the things that you can get for yourself and getting eyes on yourself. It's about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, it says it so beautifully. It's like, hey, why don't we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he ran the race with endurance because he knew where the finish line was. He wasn't running a 100-meter dash. He was running a marathon. 26.2 godforsaken miles, right? So be faithful, not just faith. Filled. It's the day-to-day. Be an everyday superhero. Every day. Use your gifts. You have a gift. Find your gift. Use your gift. We're going to look quickly. I wish we had more time. This is almost like a workshop that needs to happen because there's so much to this. And so just for brevity, we're going to break this down into three categories quickly. Spiritual gifts and what we'll call ministry roles, ministry offices. And then the last one we'll actually call personality gifts. You good? We're going to go through this quickly. Everybody good? Head nods and mm-hmms. Mm-hmm. That's kind of hard to say mm-hmm while you're shaking your head up and down. But if you go left and right, mm-hmm, it feels better. First one is this, spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, it says this. We have different gifts. Oh my gosh, it's right there. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift, so here's one list. This is not comprehensive. There's another gift list that we'll look at also. According to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So you start to see some of the gifts that God gives people according to the grace that's given to each of us. We each have different gifts. Maybe it is prophecy, maybe it is serving, maybe it is teaching, maybe it is encouragement, maybe it is giving, maybe it is leading, and maybe it is showing mercy, right? So that's kind of where you start. That's kind of the place to enter the conversation as it relates to gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 lists some more spiritual gifts, often called the charismatic gifts. These are the ones that freak people who grew up Baptist out. Freak them out, right? And so here's the list. We'll go through the list real quick. It says that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that spiritual gifts are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, speaking in tongues, interpretations of tongues, discernment, and helps, which would be kind of almost akin to serving, administration. Because look, y'all, if you are one of the people who like to start, you know how important it is to have the people who can build around that, right? And so helps is a gift. Administration is a gift. So those are some of the gifts, really kind of the two more comprehensive lists of gifts you find in Scripture. We don't have time to go through all of them. You have a lot of time. Go through all of them, right? And there is no shortage of information out there about each of these gifts. There are tests that you can take. And here's the thing that's really important about these tests. Get some help when you take the test. Because y'all know how we answer the questions when we're taking tests. And it's just us. Like, well, according to the internet, I'm 160 IQ. And you just called it the internet. All right. Let's look at the next one. That was just too easy, right? So spiritual gifts. The second one is this. And this one is more about kind of roles, because I think sometimes when you understand your role, you start to see maybe how the gift would be connected to the role so that you understand how they work. And so maybe you got to figure out the role, then you figure out the gift. Maybe you figure out the gift, then you figure out the role. I don't know how that works. But this one is called what we'll call ministry offices. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It lists five offices in the church in ministry that operate. When all five are operating, the church operates at maximum capacity. And my pastor, a long time ago, there's five of them, so he used the hand, right? And it was the apostle, and it was kind of interesting. He had like a description how they each worked. The apostle, because he can fit into each of the other ones. See that? That's pretty cool, right? And then you have the prophet, because the prophet is usually the one that calls things out. We don't like the prophets because they tell us when we're wrong, right? And prophet, and if, even if you go back to Romans chapter 12, the word prophet, prophecy, prophesying is just declaring God's word. Sometimes that's calling people who are wrong, wrong. Sometimes that's encouraging people. Sometimes that's just seeing things that other people don't see. And sometimes that's seeing things that, that are down the road. That's where it kind of gets like, you know, dicey. It's not just that, it's all of that. And so the prophet is the one that calls things out, right? The finger wagger, but in a good way. And then the middle one is the evangelist, because everybody stick up your hand real quick. Let me make sure I don't want to offend anybody. Is everybody's middle finger longer than the rest of your fingers? All right. So the evangelist reaches the furthest out. So the evangelist is always, you can put your hands down. Y'all stop. It's weird. It's like, I don't know. Is it? So the evangelist reaches further out than everyone else. The evangelist is very outsider focused. It's focused on people who don't know Jesus, coming to know Jesus as a result of the efforts and the work of the church. So that's the evangelist. And then the pastor is the ring finger because he's married to the church. And then the teacher is the pinky, and I can't remember why. Well, Google it. You look, work with the little ones. I don't know. It was just a bad 80%, and you guys still aren't happy with that. I got 4 out of 5, and it's just not enough. It's just never enough for this church. So those are some of the offices of ministry within Christianity, within the church. And so maybe, and here's what's hard about this. Sometimes we see ourselves differently than other people see us. So this is where it is, again, important to involve other people in these conversations. And let me kind of give you my understanding of this for me personally. Like, I like the idea of, you know, being a prophet, right? I'm just going, because that just feels good sometimes. But, and I'm sadly, I feel most called, most kind of defined in the insignificant pinky. I feel more of a teacher, right? It's like, but of all of your fingers, let's be honest, like the pinky's the one you'd be willing to give up, right? No, y'all are being so sensitive this morning. So that's just personally, that's how I feel about kind of where I'm called in terms of offices. Like, I just feel very comfortable and most fulfilled in teaching. And so this is what it says, first Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says, Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Some other offices to think about that you find in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It talks about deacons. We don't talk a lot about deacons because they're usually demon deacons. But deacons is another role in the church. You have elders who are also, they're leaders within the church who have the ability to teach and communicate and share God's word. Then you have overseers and shepherds. So those are some of the ministry roles. Again, like I said, we're going quickly through all of this because this is not my job to figure out for you. This is your job to figure out for yourself. Are we all clear? Good. Last one. We'll call these because they are. We'll call them what they are. Personality gifts. I don't think we often associate our personality with gifts, right? Or as a gift, but personalities very much are a gift. And it's something that we don't really, again, make that association that your personality is a gift from God. And it is generally connected to your gifting in terms of your spiritual gifting, but also as it relates to your abilities, your passions, and your purpose, your personality. If we believe that God is the creator, this is in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on, day 6, makes us out of the dust of the earth. He formed man, right? And so he breathed his life into us. We are the prized creation of God. If we believe that God is the creator, then how do we disassociate with the fact that God gave us these kind of hardwired personality traits, and he's not the one that gave them to us on purpose? I'm going to let that resonate and take a sip of water. Right? So I believe that God, not only did God create us, not only did God put breath in our lungs, but he created us like he created us for a reason. So your personality is a gift. I wish I would have known more about personality early on. Man, it would save you so much trouble. Because let me tell you what happens when you're operating in ignorance. Everybody is dumb. Have y'all ever experienced this? Everybody else is dumb. Like, you understand yourself. Like, even if you do dumb things, you understand why you did dumb things because you know your personality. But when somebody else does something dumb, they're just dumb because you don't understand personality. I wish I would have figured this stuff out a long, 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 long time ago. Does anybody else feel like that sometimes? It's so helpful. It is so helpful. Now, I'm not perfect in this, but man, I'm so much more patient with people now than I used to be, just because I understand a little more fully that, man, we are so different. And the way that you see things and the way that I see things and the way that you feel about certain things are not the way that I feel about certain things. Like, we are so unique, even in our personalities, and our personalities are a gift. It's a part of, again, how God made us, and it's important because it gives us the ability to accomplish more when we bring all of our personalities together. Now, if you've got more than one individually, you can get that checked out, and you should, right? So you can start by looking, think about in terms of personality, think about, you know, and these are the two most obvious ones, right? Introversion and extroversion. And this is where I get kind of frustrated with like stats and studies and all of that stuff. I read two articles like in the Google search, right? In the Googles. The first article said that it was almost a 50-50 split between introverts and extroverts. Like, if, you know, they did a study, 50% of, in fact, introverts in this article was like 50.3 or whatever, and extroverts was like 49.7. So a slight edge to the introverts. The very next article said that introverts were outnumbered 3-1. So take that for what it's. I thought you guys would be a little more frustrated than you were with that. So, but we all understand kind of personality in terms of, that's a good starting point, right? You have people who are extroverted and you have people who are introverted, and we need them both. Like, they are both incredibly important. I think there's been a rise in people who think they're introverted because of the Power of Quiet and Susan Cain and all that stuff. The last 10 years, like, introversion has become cool. And I'm like, well, where were you guys at 20 years ago, right? When y'all were making fun of us, like being in the closet, introvert. So it's important because they're completely different personalities, but they're both really important and necessary for optimal achievement. And then you have people who kind of operate in both spaces. You've got ambiverts that have both qualities, right? So that's really almost a third personality that we can consider. And then you can get so far into this, and I think you don't have to go too far into it, but I think it's important to go into it to some degree, at least to understand yourself and the people who are around you. It's been so helpful for me as a dad to understand my wife and my children. That's children, for those of you who are uninitiated, right? It has been like, so now I know at least to a degree why they do what they do, like why they process information the way that they do and how they filter it and their response to it. I can at least be aware of what's going on upstairs, if anything is going on upstairs, right? It has been so helpful. It's probably kept me from going back to jail. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Listen, all the parents are like, y'all are secretly trying to act like good parents, but you're like, he right. According to Myers-Briggs, there are like 16 different personality types. Y'all remember that? I did it in high school, and it's INFP, J, you got all of that good stuff. So the 16 personality types, Enneagram. Now, here's the deal. With anything, you can go bat nuts crazy with anything, right? And some people are like, oh, the Enneagram is the devil. And I'm like, well, it's the devil if you make it the devil, but if it helps me understand people, then I can see how God would work in and through that, right? So look, those super spiritual people are going to make everything like super spiritual, whether it's supposed to be that Frosted Flakes is the devil, right? Okay, why? Tony the Tiger's awesome. Back off. So Enneagram, so Myers-Briggs has 16 different personality types. Enneagram has 9 different personality types. And then usually you have a dominant personality type and a wing personality type. So whatever the number is on that. Again, that has been so helpful for me because, yeah, I operate. I'm if you do Enneagram, how many of you guys have looked into Enneagram stuff? You like stuff like this, personality stuff? Okay, I'm talking to 3 people. Great. So in Enneagram, I'm a number 8 on the Enneagram, which is, it's kind of there's a lot of anger, but it's good anger. And I'm like, I'm not angry. I'm torqued, right? I'm just kind of like, and it's just me. And it's not a bad thing. As long as you, like, again, however you go with this can define whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. So you have at least a baseline for understanding who you are, and you understand to some degree who other people are, how they think, how they operate, how they process information, how they're going to handle frustration, disappointment, you know, calamity in your life. So it just helps us work together better when we understand each other. Therefore, in my opinion, your personality is part of your design. And if it's part of your design, then it has to be part of God's plan for your life and your purpose. My opinion, take that for what it's worth. So the closing here is this. Again, we did not spend a lot of time going through, you know, each of these different gifts and each of these different roles and offices, because I think that's something that you need to figure out on yourself. Now, obviously, we want to help if we can in any way. Ask Shelly. But do involve other people in the process, because sometimes I don't know if we're fully honest with ourselves. Sometimes we answer questions. Y'all know you've taken a survey. How satisfied were you with this experience or product? I give it a 4. It was a 1. I'm just not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, right? So sometimes we're just not as honest as we should be, and maybe we don't see things fully. So involve other people in the process. But the bottom line is this. There's 2 questions that we have to answer as it relates to heroes, superpowers, and the gifts that God has given us. The first one is, what is your gift? What is your superpower that you were created with, that God gave you, and he gave it to you for a reason? And the second question is, how are you using it? How are you using the gift that God has given you to change the world? Maybe not change the world in the sense that we think change the world, but you can change your world. You can change the lives of people around you, therefore changing the world if you use your gift. What is your superpower? What is your gift? And how are you using your gift to make a difference in the world around you? Amen. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful, God, that you've created us in your image for good works. We're saved by grace through faith, not of our own efforts or merit, God. We're saved by you, from you, for of you, and through you, and to you are all things, God. We know that, but we also know that you created us with purpose. God, I pray that you would help each person in this room to know, to come to know, to find, to discover what their gifts are and to use them to make a difference in the world. God, help us to be heroic in that sense. God, not looking for attention, not looking for praise, but understanding that you have created us specifically and intentionally the way that we are to make a difference in the world around us. Help us do that. It's in Jesus' incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.